You're listening to
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Apart from a little withdrawal of caffeine, which I hadn't had time to brew up for 2 days. I've been charging about.
Right.
And today I realised I had a headache, and I don't get headaches.
Right.
And of course I've been chatting with our lovely guests,
Sonia. Yeah, yeah.
And we realised it was the old caffeine
You've got
withdrawals.
A caffeine addiction now, have you?
I must have.
Blimey.
I do like a little bit of Ethiopian.
I'll stick to the alcohol then.
Yes, well, I shall be having some tomorrow. My mother's 90.
Yes, she's 90. Is it actually her birthday tomorrow?
It is.
Happy birthday for tomorrow, Ruth. I hope you have the most wonderful 90th birthday.
She will. And not only that, she got married on her 21st birthday. So it would be my pa passed away about 7 years ago, Victor.
Yep.
But it would have been their 70th wedding anniversary as well. So it's quite poignant.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got lots of prizes and surprises and things. But
good.
We will be seven of us, so two tables.
I just wouldn't even go there. Just don't even go there.
Two tables. Of my three children and my mother and I, we make six, and then one of the children obviously is bringing his partner of 5 years, Mimi, the lovely Mimi, and she said, I won't come. I said, you must come, your family. And
that was very Jewish that you just did there.
Your family.
Yeah. You see, Gavin's wearing off on you now,
isn't
he? The
gefilte fish.
Yeah.
How much do you pay for your smoked salmon?
Yeah.
I think that might be stereotyping. We're probably not allowed to do that anymore.
No, you're probably not. It was just that you just sounded...
Family.
You found...
Family's
like,
family.
Yeah.
But we're going to Reeds, the lovely Reeds, in Faversham. And I've booked my mum the Queen's suite there.
Mm.
And my new husband and I are staying in the room next door in case she gets lost or something, wanders off, or, you know, runs off with the chef. You never know with my mum.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Great local independent restaurant.
Fantastic. We'll have a lovely time.
But you do know what she did say?
What?
The owner, when I was talking to him about this 10 p.m., may I just bring in a bit of controversy, said the 10 p.m. curfew is causing them so much aggro because everybody's leaving at 10 p.m. So they're all going to the loo together.
Yeah.
They're all getting their cars, getting their bills.
I'm not going over this again. We are led by complete incompetent, stupid people.
I agree.
And there is no logic in anything they're doing. There's no science. There's
it's
no
like
logic. There's no rationale.
Headless chickens.
Well, it's deliberate. And there's, you know, it's just nonsense. Yeah, you know, anybody with a brain cell could tell you if you force a place to close, everyone will leave at the same time and get on the same bus or the same train or the same tube.
And do you know what the other thing is? Mm. Because my three kids work in London and one is in Manston, so I made it because they've got jobs. I made it for 7 p.m. sit down.
Mm.
Now, because of the 10 p.m. curfew, I've had to bring all four to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, a banquet will be, you know, a six-course meal with champagne. You don't want to rush it. And not only that, it's just madness. You know what they're doing in London? And now, to get around this 10 p.m., they're having bottomless brunches.
Mm.
So whatever the law they make, people will adapt and they will do what they want.
Well, it's like the government said, you can't open pubs.
Yeah.
You must serve food. Yeah. And then they had to retract that and go, it's got to be substantial food.
Not a bag of crisps.
Yeah, yeah, because people were putting up menus that said starters, you know, salt and vinegar, cheese and onion, or planters, nuts, main course, you know, scampi fries in a bag.
It is. It's very, very difficult. And hospitality is really struggling. And, you know, we really, Paul and I are really rooting for you all in hospitality and all the small businesses. It's not just that. It's weddings and everything that's happened. It is madness. And as you'll see on my Twitter, Paul Andrews, they've closed the Nightingale Hospital in London.
I know.
Which doesn't make any sense.
There you go. None of it makes sense, unfortunately. But I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors.
I do.
The Business Bunker Radio Show is very pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Lock Associates Group. They'll be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. You can find out more about Lock Associates Group by going to their website, which is www.lock. I was told off.
Lock.
I was told to pronounce it the Scottish
way. Oh, Dr. Finlay.
Lockassociates.co.uk, L-O-C-H.
He always wears a sporran when he says that.
I do, yeah. I've got it on.
Puts it on specially.
Exactly. Yeah, www.lockassociates.co.uk. A huge thank you to you folks for supporting the Business Bunker Show. Without you, we couldn't do what we do.
Well, we'd be silly, wouldn't we? We'd just be chatting to ourselves.
Yeah, just be me and you.
Yeah,
and that would be no fun at all.
We did have a bit of a bicker this morning, didn't we?
Yeah. Just because that's not normal. We don't normally do that.
No, we don't.
I want to hear from you, all the businesses out there in the southeast of England and Maryland or Pennsylvania. Where's Nurse Liz these days?
Yeah, she's in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
She was in Maryland.
She was in Maryland. She moved to Pennsylvania. Yeah. Did she have to leave?
Pennsylvania too.
Yeah. I knew you were going to do that. But we'd love to hear from you, and you can get in touch with us. And the easiest way to do it, to be quite frank, is to tweet me at VanillaWeb or her at Jules Serkin and use the hashtag BBunker, and then we will see you. We've had quite a few tweets already. We've got some emails and stuff to do and things to cover. Well, we've got a fantastic guest in the studio to talk to, and then we're going to hear from Shirley and Phil later on in the show in an interview that we recorded a week or so ago. So that's what's happening today. What you got, Jules?
Well, we've had lots, but first of all, we've had a lovely thank you card, and it's all gold and glittery, and it was on my desk when I came in. It's very, very lovely. And shall I read it out?
Yeah, go for it.
Dear Paul, Jules and the Bunker team, we just wanted to say a big thank you for all your support during the recent strange times. Strange indeed. Mm. Your ongoing output and publicity is hugely appreciated. And as things start to return to normal, hopefully, we wanted to let you know how appreciated you are. Thanks for everything. And that's from Keith, Kate, Fran and the Athelbrae team.
Thank you so much. That's a lovely thing to
receive.
Lovely. It was really nice. And the whole point about this show and our lovely listeners is we are a community and we all support each other. And that's the whole point, isn't it? That if we can't support each other, then we're not going to get very far.
Yes, I just think it's lovely to know that you are out there and listening. We've got a lot of listeners today. We've got the lovely Tracy Ferguson at Tazy64. She's listening with her plucky cards, no doubt, under her arm. And also Tracy Ann Barker, hello to you. She says, we've managed to jump on live today for the first half an hour.
She was listening to last week's show this morning.
I know. I thought when she said she was going to listen again, I thought, blimey, that's keen. Good for you, Tracy Ann. And she says, we'll catch up with the rest later today. And great to hear you both.
I've had Supply My Business, lead generation and marketing for businesses in the socially distanced digital economy. Check out our Supply My Biz platform to find out more. Supply My Biz on Twitter if you want to find out about Supply My Biz.
And Chips and Dinks, they're listening in and I expect they're chipping and dinking and you know, mending things
and repairing things. They're fantastic. Yeah, they really are.
Scratches and
they really are. The amount of things that Tony and Bev do is unbelievable. I mean, they permanently repair our cars. I'm saying no more.
Yeah.
Because she's listening.
Oh, okay. is she listening in the stable?
Yeah.
Is she mucking out, perhaps?
I don't know. You'll have to ask her.
Giving them a bit of bran.
Yeah. Bran?
Oats.
We think they have Kellogg's All Brand for your horse.
Giving them a little salt.
Do you want milk and sugar on that?
Cup coffee. giving them a little salt lick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's cows, isn't it?
No, horses can have hot salt licks.
Can they?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, they can. Putting on the little fly mask.
I forgot what I was saying now.
No, I just like to...
You interrupted, didn't you?
I like to think of Amanda, you know, in her, while she's listening, in her daily job, you know, mucking out in her little jobbers and that. Yeah, I like a picture of someone doing things.
Absolutely.
Like the listeners, all of them, you know, Chips and Dinks, what are they doing? They got a little screwdriver, a little spray thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. They're always doing something, aren't they? And they're always fixing something, making something, respraying something and putting something right. They do fantastic.
They're a bit like the Seven Dwarves, really, aren't they?
No, there's only two of them.
I know. But then there was a few of those dwarves.
Chippy and Dinky.
Yeah. A few of them didn't do much, those dwarves, did they?
I don't know.
If you're honest.
I didn't interview them.
Well, no, Dopey. I mean, he didn't do anything, did he? So, you know, I think Chips and Dinks would be the not bashful one, would they?
No.
A long time
they'd be happy.
Yeah, they'd be happy.
And they're very good at what they do, and we love them.
Yeah.
And,
they need to come look at my stone bath.
Yeah, they do. I tell you what, they did a fantastic job on my dining table. They really did. Yeah.
And do you dine on it?
Of course.
Lovely.
Yeah.
That's good.
I tell you what, we had a little dinner soiree the weekend before last.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
No, I know.
I know who went.
Yeah.
I have little ears everywhere.
Yeah. We weren't breaking the social distancing rules like some people, Jules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I persuaded Amanda to cook pheasant casserole. She'd never had pheasant before.
Oh, I love a pheasant casserole.
So do I, but she hated it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what, too strong?
It's too dry for her. Yeah.
Bit dry.
Yeah.
Well, you know what to do, Amanda, with that? Just a little bit of slug of red wine.
Oh, there was half a bottle of red wine in it.
Then it won't be... No, but to drink as well.
Oh, to drink. and then you don't know what you're eating. Yeah.
I do love game because we're right in the middle of the old game season.
Yeah. Well, we had duck stir fry last night.
Yeah. Well, why don't you do the pheasant pie then?
I will.
And then add even more liquid.
Yeah, I will. And I'll have it
and
all.
And eat it all.
And have it all to myself. Yeah, because I'm the only one that likes it.
Did Lucy like it?
She didn't have any.
Oh.
She had burger and chips.
Oh, no. Yeah. Really? I hope she had some greens with it as well.
No. Burger and
just
chips.
Just burger and chips.
She's eight. Goodness
no,
sake,
I'd
greens.
Say I wouldn't let my kids do that. I would say greens. No grey food.
Yeah. Unless you can make the chips green.
You can. You can mash and spinach
sure you can.
And things and all sorts.
Right. What else have you got?
Well, I'm going through the Twitter, actually, but shall I read something?
Yeah, go for it.
Because the Twitter's gone mad. It's very busy. We've got loads of GIFs and GIFs and things. Would you like to attend Kent's social media and digital event of the year?
Oh,
yes, I hear you cry. On the 30th of October, we will be running the ZC Live virtually. And that is a hashtag, so you can hashtag ZC Live. It's funny because it looks like Zed Clive.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, who's Clive?
Yeah.
Didn't
he invent an electric car about 50 years ago?
Yeah, Clive, what was his name?
Sinclair.
Mm-hmm. You're good, aren't you, with the old memory? Register your, of course, you are old, so you can remember way back.
Yeah, of course.
What year was that?
Yeah. 1970 something or another. 78.
I only know 1066, Battle of Hastings.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, you were there, weren't you?
Yeah. With my.
Yeah. You just missed the arrow. You went, mind that arrow. Oh, Harold.
Harold. Register your free place by going to 3ws. Poor guest here, wondering what on earth she's come into.
I know.
I mean,
it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really.
Yeah. I'm
watching Sonia, and she's sort of inching out of
but
the
she's
studio.
She's trying to get out of the studio twice. Yeah. Jules has blocked the door.
Yeah, there's a bolt. 3ws.eventbrite.co.uk/e/ZC-live and then 2020 tickets. So that is your free place on the 30th of October. And hopefully they'll all be buzzing us here on the show. They do, don't they?
Yeah. No, ZC Live is a fantastic event. Zoe and the team from ZC Social Media have been running it for a few years now. It's always been a free event. It's been massively well attended. It's one of those big flagship events of the county. And like a lot of things, obviously, it can't be done in person, so they're doing it virtually, which is brilliant, though, because it would be a shame to not have it at all. So I'll be going to the virtual event, and I will see you there.
Yeah, me too, then.
Yeah, ZC Live, 30th of October. Be there.
Or be square. There's this winter, this is a Kent Community Foundation, and they're asking you to knock and check on your elderly neighbours. I love this idea. So that all together we can support the lonely and the isolated and save lives. I live in Whitstable, Paul Andrews, and listener, and
Have people been knocking for you?
Well, no, not yet. They've sort of neglected me. But I do talk to the postman, who still is in his shorts and whistles. Yeah. I love him. But Tankerton, where I am, is a lot of retired people. And it's really sad. You see people hobbling along. They're bent over and they've got the mask over their face when they're walking in the street.
Is that on the way back from the pub? Or?
Yeah. From the where?
From the pub.
Yeah, no.
And they're all on the way back from the Neptune
Arms.
No,
they're going to get their little groceries.
Oh, I see, sorry.
Yeah, this is serious.
Oh, no, I was thinking of you being one of the OAPs there and how you wander along the seafront at obscure hours of the day.
As you know, I am actually much younger than you, listener. But it is sad, and you see them and you think, what support have they got? You know, they're going along with their shopping and they're bent and they've got a stick and everything. And I do think, I know that the fights that I've had to do for my mum this year over her health and getting her to see a GP, and my kids were saying, what do the elderly do who've got nobody to fight for them? Mm. So this is great. I'm going to read it out. It's the Kent Community Foundation, and they want to build on the fabulous community spirit shown in the county during lockdown to reduce the number of avoidable deaths amongst the elderly this winter. And every year there are 1,600 avoidable deaths in Kent and Medway. And by getting involved in the Knock and Check campaign, together we can all save lives by recognising when support might be required and getting help arranged. To find out more, you can go to kentcf.org.uk/knock-and-check. And they say it's part of the annual Surviving Winter Kent Community Foundation initiative and will launch on the 26th of October and run through until the end of February 2021. And during the winter, Kent Community Foundation is asking the community to help save lives by looking out for and helping elderly neighbours. And you can offer your help with the shopping, share something you've baked, give them magazines or books you've read, arrange for prescriptions to be delivered, or just simply say hello and ask if they need any help. Mm. And the online Knock and Check resource directory will list the help and support that's available to support the elderly. So my only worry about that is you don't want loads of people knocking on people's doors in the evening when yeah. you know, my
You've got to be sensible about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but we would be sensible, but it could be targeted. You know, I think it could be a target for people that are maybe not so scrupulous. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
how are they going to police it?
Well, it's like anything, isn't it? The problem is, you know, you can't run society based on the few toe rags that, you know, do things. It's like my mum rang me. Bless her. My mum's 92. She's as bright as a button, and she rang me and she said, "I've just had a text and it looks dodgy."
Oh.
I went, "Go on then." She said, "Yeah, I've had a text from HMRC. And it says, if I don't press the button now, they're coming to arrest me." And I went, "Well, that's all right then, isn't it?" And she went, "Why?" I said, "Well, if they arrest you, you get put in jail and then you don't have to pay your TV licence."
Exactly.
"And you don't have to buy dinner because you get dinner." She went, "Oh, that's a good idea.
And all your laundry done."
Yeah. And I said, "But joking aside, you know, why would you want to press it?" And she said, "Well, it looks very official." And I said, "Yeah, but what have they told you you've done?" She said, "Well, according to the text, I've been cheating on my furlough money." And I went, "Mum, you haven't worked for 72 years, yeah? Mm-hmm. You don't get furlough money." Mm. "No," she said, "I thought it was dodgy." But, you know, the trouble is you get it's everywhere. You get all of these scams, you know, so you get those and,
But you know what? My mum's 90 and she still gets her own bins in and out and she gets them in and out for the neighbours.
Mm.
And the guy next door is 60, lives on his own. He's a bit of a hermit. And I say to my mum, "Why are you getting his bin in and dragging it in?" You know, does he ever do it for her? No. Does he ever knock and ask? It drives me mad.
Yeah.
But that generation, you'll never get another generation like that, will you?
Yeah. But coming back to your point, you know, you have to be careful and, you know, I think part of the whole scheme about knocking for your neighbour is just looking out for your neighbour as well. Mm. You know, you don't have to go and get in their face every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You just have to keep an eye out. Mm. Just, you know, who is actually coming to their place? You know.
Yeah. Are the lights are on? Are the curtains open?
You know. You know, where my mum lives, bless her, she lives on a little estate, a little cul-de-sac.
I could tell it was a cul-de-sac because you were doing that with your finger.
I'm drawing pictures with my finger. of little bungalows, and they're all of an age. And they all kind of look out for each other. And yeah. if they haven't seen any movement in the house for a day or so, they come over and go, you're all right. You know, and they don't
Well,
even
that can
in.
Be a problem at that yeah. age, movement.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I yeah. mean, yeah, yeah. you know, the old movie colon.
Yeah.
Talking of Bran.
Yeah.
And horses.
Yeah.
Amanda was listening in. She said she hasn't done a chip or a dink in her car for quite some time.
I didn't say
she
had.
Have you know.
I didn't say, I just inferred. I didn't actually say it. Oh, she's telling me off now. She was saying that was me, not your mum.
What?
I don't know. What did I say?
I don't know. I lose track. I try not to listen, really, to what you say too much. KCC budget consultation is 2021 to 2022. KCC's budget consultation is now open. And to have your say on where you think, or where to start, where you think spending reductions could be made to service areas and on our council tax proposals, please visit kent.gov.uk/budget before the 24th of November of this year. And we welcome your participation in this consultation and would also be very grateful if you could cascade the information to those you work with. Cascade, now there's an interesting word.
Flow.
but Paul Andrews, where to start with that? I mean, I don't know whether KCC or Canterbury, whenever I try and get anything sorted with Canterbury City Council, and as you know, there's quite a lot of things you'll see from my Twitter, nothing ever gets resolved because I'll get a phone call back, you know, a week later, and they'll just tell me to phone someone else, another department, or it'll be KCC, or it'll be a police department, or it'll be... Nothing ever
Nobody
gets resolved.
Nobody ever takes responsibility.
No. And the grass where we live, we've
Oh, don't start on the grass again.
We've had
again.
A drought. That it is bald, and they come every week with a tractor and cut it. It's just mad, absolutely barking mad. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
there's no responsibility. Nobody, they just tick boxes.
And I found the rubbish men who are all delightful, and I wouldn't report them because they're working at least. But they sit down for 2-3 hours listening to the radio on a bench, and I go, oh, you know, because I walk the dog and they're still there. They go, yeah, but, you know, I get paid for my hours, and if I finish too early, so they're stringing it out. It's ridiculous if there's not much rubbish to collect. Sorry if anyone's listening, but it gets my goat a bit.
He's making me laugh. I've known Jules Donkey's years, and as she's got older, she's got more curmudgeonly.
Yeah.
And she's now one of those people, she's what you call a bosomy woman, yeah? She'll come storming out of her house and she'll go, you, I'm
Turn
paying
your engine
you.
Off, idling, idling
I'm paying you to do that, and you're sitting around on a bench smoking a fag. Now, get on with the work.
No, but for hours they're there.
Yeah.
And the other thing...
She's got little net curtains and she twitches them, yeah? And she's got a little timer clock so she knows how long they've been
it's
on the
outrageous.
Bench.
It's outrageous, it is. It's true. The older I've got, the more curmudgeonly I've got. And I think that's true. But they've painted, freshly painted the yellow lines because we were on the seafront. We were inundated, as you can imagine. Everybody was on furlough. And what they do now is they're not allowed to park on the double yellow. So what do? They drive onto the pavement. They put their whole car on the pavement. And we're talking 10, 15 cars. It's madness. And nothing's done. I am curmudgeonly.
Yeah, you're having a rant.
Yeah, I think I might go and live on an island.
I would. Well, you do. Already.
Kentish.
Yeah. Do you know what?
Tunage?
I think it's tunage. And
oh,
this one,
I do. It's
this
been...
one just picked itself, didn't it? You know what this is before I even play
no,
it.
No, I've got no idea. I had no coffee.
Have you not?
No, my brain won't work.
Oh, right.
Are you playing it?
No.
Are you humming it?
No.
Can't hear anything.
I'm getting...
Oh, I heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, there you go.
Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio and Biz Radio. A bit of Marvin Gaye there. It kind of picked itself, that one.
Well, I was just saying that even right back in the early 80s, he was talking about fish full of mercury and saving the planet and what's going on.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. The link is not even remotely tenuous, though.
No, but it's a good song.
But you don't know that yet because you haven't heard from our guest to tell you what her business is called.
We are going to find out. I forgot what the song was now because I'm back.
It was Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. What was the song, though?
I heard it on a grapevine.
Oh, yeah, I heard it. Is it Grapevine?
It is, yeah.
I like what you did there.
Yeah, did you see that? I waited hours to work that out.
Did you sit up all night thinking?
I sat up all night thinking, what could I pick as cheesy
tunage? With your quill and your little nightcap on.
She's getting carried away now, isn't she?
And your little stripy pyjamas.
Hey, listen. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, apparently, for the first time, because I was convinced she'd been before.
But she
definitely hasn't. She knows where she's been. But it's an absolute pleasure now to welcome, for the very first time, onto the Business Bunker Show, the lovely Sonia Kimpton-Deville. Sonia, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Before we do anything at all, I love your name. It's just brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it exotic? Yeah. I just love that Kimpton-Deville. Isn't that beautiful?
She sounds like she'd have a chateau somewhere, doesn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in Transylvania, probably.
Yeah, and then swan around with crystal glasses, Transylvanian crystals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's the background to the name?
I wish it was as glamorous as it sounds.
Though you are glamorous, of course.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank you. No, I wish it was as glamorous as it sounds, but it's actually a combination of my name. I was a Kimpton.
Right.
I still am a Kimpton, and my husband was Deville.
Right, okay.
But I lost my dad at an early age and said I would always keep my name.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
So I was quite fortunate. I could have married someone.
Smith.
Yeah. Well,
Brown.
Yeah, my nan was a Smith and my other nan was a Jones.
Yeah.
But I could have married someone with a really...
That didn't flow because it flows. It flows lovely, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just flows off the tongue.
Was this sort of you search for someone with a name?
I did. Don't tell him. I only married him for his name.
Yeah. But, she wasn't too happy with his sister though, Cruella.
Obviously,
you get that all the time. I'm sorry. It was just ridiculous because you must get that anyway. An exotic and lovely sounding name, which is brilliant. But why don't you kick off, Sonia, by telling the listeners a bit about you, a bit about your background and
the grapevine.
And your grapevine, yeah. A bit about your background and where you came from a business point of view.
Sure, thanks. Firstly, thanks for having me on the show. I'm delighted.
Pleasure.
I'm absolutely certain this is my first time on the show.
Yeah.
I must have one of those faces.
Yeah.
My background is in business transformation and operational excellence, and I've been working in business for the last 20 odd years, doing that, leading operations and transformation. And I'm quite a problem solver by nature, so I look for how can we do things better? What could be improved? What's those little things that make the big difference? So starting Grapevine wasn't about starting a business for business sake. It was actually identifying a problem almost in one of those epiphany moments where you think, oh my God, there's a better way to do this.
Yeah.
And then those that time where you're having to take a notebook to bed because you get up and you need to write it down and you need to get it all on paper. And it was around how we connect with people.
Mm.
But my career experience, I've seen throughout that, I've seen the challenges that businesses have and business leaders with trying to make sure the sales funnel is full. How do you make sure the leads, how are we gathering leads and making sure they're in the sales funnel to convert them? But on the flip side of that, the challenges that salespeople have in capturing that opportunity.
Mm.
You know, they're really busy. They're quite often overloaded with tools and administration work, and they don't want to be doing that. Their core competency is selling,
mm-hmm.
not you don't recruit them and say, how good are you at typing? You say, how good are you at selling?
Sure.
So sort of seeing both sides of that and how there's a huge disconnect in how we capture leads and how we get them into business. And there's a lot of measure for businesses around, once it's in the pipeline, how does that then go through the business and come out the other end as revenue?
Right.
But what's never measured or focused on is that connection piece right up front. Mm. And that's what Grapevine really, really hones in on, is that connection piece.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. I'm interested in the process, and I've been talking to a few people that have developed products and services just recently. And I was saying this to some guys the other day, and I don't know if this is how you came across this, but quite often when we spot an opportunity or a gap in the market or whatever, it's pretty obvious that it's there. And I don't know if you came across that. And I was talking to some people the other day, and I mean, yeah, but why is that? But it's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've heard of a chap called Matt Ridley. Matt is a science writer by trade, a journalist and science writer. He's written some fabulous books, and his latest book is How Innovation Happens. And one of the points he made is it took 400 years for someone to realise you could put wheels on luggage.
No.
if you think about it, how long we had luggage before somebody put some wheels on the bottom and said, stop carrying this and wheel it. Yeah. And it's such an, once somebody's done it, it's such an obvious thing. You go, well, why didn't anybody ever think of that before?
Well, maybe because the people that travelled in the olden days would have had servants. The poor people wouldn't have had luggage. Is that right? On steamers and things like that.
Well, probably, but they still needed wheels. So, but the point is, it's an obvious thing to do. It's a really obvious thing to do as a productivity aid as much as anything else. But until somebody did it, nobody had done it.
And now everybody does it.
Yeah, but so my point is that quite often when we're inventing new things or we come up with an idea, we think, but why has nobody ever done this before? And sometimes we can be put off by that by going, well, if nobody's ever done it, maybe there's a reason they've never done it. yeah. Maybe there's I've spotted a gap in the market, but there's not a market in the gap, if you see what I mean. Yeah. But there normally is, and it's normally there because just nobody's ever done it.
No, and I agree.
Yeah,
absolutely, I agree. And that's where the education comes in, is that quite often we don't realise we've got this challenge or this problem until someone says, do you realise X, Y, Z?
Yeah.
And they go, oh my God, no, I didn't know. And that is that. Yeah. And with regards to, since the beginning, so over 2 years ago, started to talk to people to do that market validation, are people actually seeing this as a problem? Are you finding that it's cumbersome to capture opportunity, to get stuff into your sales funnel? Yes, you know, I'm paying for people to give me leads, but you're having people talking to people every day that are effectively generating you warm leads that you're ignoring.
It's amazing, isn't it? Excuse me. Having hung around the event industry for a long time, and I ran events myself for a long time as well, and the amount of trade shows you go to where there's a stand there with salespeople on it and a jar, and everybody puts their business card in it, and at the end of the day, you never hear from them again, ever.
No. I've actually gone up to some of those as part of my research and said, oh, what are you going to do with the fishbowl? And they kind of looked at me really sort of withered and said, well, we're going to go back to the office and we're going to go through them, type them into a spreadsheet, and then do something with them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, what if that could be done automatically? What if every opportunity or connection you made was automatically in your CRM, which then meant actually whoever's in the office now could be dealing with it. you know you've got quality data because it comes from source.
Yeah.
And you've got no lag, you know, yeah. And that's the worst thing. And I've seen that where a day, 2 days, 2 weeks after a show.
A month.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, where are the leads? Yeah. Where are the leads gone?
You spent all the money on the show and all that energy.
And the sales have got no impetus then to go after them because they've gone cold. They've lost context.
Well, you know, that you nailed it there because that's what happened to me. If I ever do get any follow-up, sometimes it's so far after the event, I don't even remember the event, let alone the people I spoke to.
Yeah, yeah.
And you suddenly get this email going, I spoke to you at the South East Business Show and you were interested in our product. I'm like, who the hell are you? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
And I was probably lying anyway. You know, yeah.
probably just wanted a sweetie.
I was just after a stress ball, wasn't I?
Or a pen.
But to that point as well, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're face to face or online. I mean, we're all working in an online environment now, and it's just as important that we're connecting in an intelligent way.
Mm.
But when you get those emails or that follow up, does it have context?
Yeah.
Did they say, hi, Paul, he's interested in our product because you explained to us your challenge was XYZ, which meant that they have listened, they've captured it there and then, and then, but they can forget about it because it's in their CRM or it's in their email inbox, they've got the reminders, they can follow up with it to it with context and a call to action.
Okay, so let's move on now and look at the app itself, and from two points of view. I want to just touch on very briefly your journey with the app and, you know, what you've got to get it to where you've got it to today. And then more importantly, I want to talk about how it works, what it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go from there because there's some questions that people, I can already hear them out in the audience saying, oh, how's this going to work and how's that going to work? And we're going to address some of those in a minute. So if you could cover those points, your journey of developing the app and any thoughts or things that happened to you on that journey, and then how that app actually works and what it does. Yeah,
yeah, sure. So as I mentioned, I found the idea, if you like, or the idea came to me around 2.5 years ago. So then I started, my background is in process and business. So my first thought was get it all on paper, start to design how it would work, where, how's it going to deliver value, what does it look like, and going through there. And it was also getting out and talking to people, validating that there was a problem, a challenge that could be solved. And from there, it was then about building a prototype, which I was able to do relatively simple with sort of some online tools, and finding a technical co-founder, which proves very, very difficult to do. You know, everybody has an app idea, and then trying to find, I was in a session with over 20 people, 18 of us wanted an app developer, and the two other guys who were developers wasn't actually developing in the language that develops apps, so it was kind of difficult. And so then I did have a developer lined up this year, and then COVID hit. So we had to put all that away. And I'm not someone who just says, right, well, that's it. Let's pack up and go home. So it's, how else can we build this? How else can we do it? And we ended up finding a platform that enables us to do it, building a progressive web app, which means you've not got to go on an app store, and you can iterate quickly, you can bring to market quickly. And we've developed Grapevine as the MVP, as a progressive web app using no code, and it's now launched.
Right,
and we started developing it earlier this year when all COVID hit. And that takes us sort of right up to now where we've launched and it's available for people to use.
Cool. Okay. So you're right. And one of the things that intrigued me when you were talking there was how you talked about having a developer co-founder. And it's one of the things that I see so often with people that do any digital, whether it's web, app or anything else, people without technical experience have these ideas and then they get it built by a third party. And the problem with that is that you have no control over that at all. And considering your entire business is based on this piece of digital technology, if they walk away, I mean, I am involved in a business at the moment. I won't go into the details, but they had an external developer that became incredibly ill and could no longer work. So you have to start all over again, you know, and you bring somebody new in and they go, whoa, you don't want to have done it like that.
Yeah.
You know, I would have done it in a completely different way. So you end up chucking it all away and starting again multiple times. So I love what you said about that, Sonia. So now, talk us through what the app actually does and kind of how it works, you know, at a functional level.
Yeah. So if you think of Grapevine as that PA in your pocket, essentially. So, you know, we're all busy. We're all trying to connect with people. We're all trying to create opportunity, whether it's for sales, for relationships in that sense, business relationships, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if it's face-to-face or online, because we're all trying to connect. There's a multitude of platforms that we're all trying to connect on, and it's not very effective at the moment. You know, 80% of people don't make any notes of who they've met and who they've spoken to. Yep. And then 70% of people forget who they've spoken to and what the context was.
Yeah, you have a picture of them and think, who was that? Yeah. You know,
what did I say?
Very frustrating.
Yeah. So that is all, essentially, when you boil it down, lost opportunity. So it's about capturing that. And what Grapevine does is it pulls all of your information together and enables you to connect in a more complete way. So Grapevine is a very uncluttered, simple profile. It's not a messaging tool because there's lots of ways to do messaging, but it's about that PA in your pocket bit that facilitates the connection. So say, Paul, you and I connect on Grapevine. I've got your website, your email, your phone number, your Twitter, your Instagram, your LinkedIn. You know, all of that is in one place. I haven't got to go find you. I can connect once on Grapevine and click through to all of your, you know, different platforms and mediums. But that also means that we can then continue that conversation on the platform that works best for that scenario. You know, not everyone uses LinkedIn. Not everyone uses Twitter or Instagram. It might be actually a phone call is the best way. But what you can do when we connect, I will send you a note that says, you know, hi, Paul, great to meet you. I will send you an invite for a call next week to discuss XYZ. We've both got that as an email. We both know what the call to action was. And I can do that 10, 15, 20 times or whatever over the course of a day, online or offline, doesn't matter. That's in my inbox. All of those connections come as a daily report. This is who you spoke to. This is what you said you was going to do. This is all the connection information. So I haven't got to think, who did I speak to? What was that? Oh, that was their face. What did I say I was going to do? It's there. It's your go-to. This is your follow-up. This is how I now move my business forward. And by, you know, it's simple maths to say the more that's in your opportunity funnel, the more opportunity you've got to convert. And that conversion turns into money. So it's Grapevine is about making it simple and easy to connect, that first part of that connection process, facilitating your connections with your, you know, audience or customers, and making it easy for them to find you in a more complete way,
right,
so that you can then drive revenue.
Okay.
You know, so it that's how it works, that's what it does. You know, it's got multiple profiles. That's something I think people, you know, is more common now.
Okay.
We're all wearing so many hats that actually we might have different information we want to share. I mean, I know you've got like 500 businesses, Paul.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, having a profile for each of those depends on who you're speaking to. Means that you can make sure the connection is appropriate.
I get very confused when I'm thinking myself. How anybody else deals with me, I don't know. I think they just come at me and hope that they sort it out somewhere. So in the process of using Grapevine, do both parties need to have the app?
No.
Okay.
No. So we've deliberately, it's all about making it simple and easy. Right. So a part of that is that, particularly right now, you know, there isn't a huge user base.
Yeah.
So making it easy to connect with someone who's not already on Grapevine is important. So I've got Grapevine, you haven't. Every profile, you'll have your own QR code.
Yeah.
You can scan my QR code and that will take you straight through to registration. When you register, you will automatically get an invitation to connect with me.
Right.
In the meantime, I've obviously got your... Well, I get your information because you've scanned my QR code.
You've scanned it,
And you can do that via email as well, which means that I've got your email address.
Right.
And you also get my information. So you're still making a connection.
Right.
But what it's doing is encouraging the other user as well to go onto Grapevine, because it means you're memorable. It means that people can access you so quickly.
Yeah. It's a replacement for a business card as much as anything else, isn't it?
Well, quite.
You know,
and business cards are not good now with COVID because you don't touch them.
Worry about my business card. Yeah, I've got it on the front, the back, and a backup card. Yeah,
it says advice.
And I've got 19 email addresses and 47 Twitter accounts. Yeah. Absolutely.
And to that point as well, with the business cards, we have got so many of them. You have got social distancing.
Mm.
And it, you know, what Grapevine also does is allows you to scan it. So if you give me your 59 business cards, I can scan them in Grapevine and it will pull out your email. And then I can connect with you that way as well.
Somebody in a shop yesterday tried to give me his card. And I said, no, and I just took a picture of it. And he said, no, take it. I said, no, I don't want it. I'll keep it on my phone then, you know.
Well, to be honest, just changing the subject slightly, I mean, paper cards are a pain in the bum now anyway. I mean, what do you do with them? In my office, I've got... plastic sacks full of business cards.
Wads of them.
And once a year, I take them all down a bonfire and burn them all because, you know, even if I went, who was that lady I saw? I'd never find a business card in a million years in amongst all of that. So it's pointless.
I do remember a while back, Sonia, I don't know if you remember, you're probably far too young, but there was a stage where a few people were putting their photo on the business card. And I thought that was a really good idea.
And that's really important. On the Grapevine profile, you'll have your photo and you've got your business logo and everything else.
Mm.
Because people do remember faces quickly.
Yeah.
And another part of that is when you connect on Grapevine, I can add a personal note that is not shared with anyone. So I could say, right, Paul, you know, he's got however many businesses, likes to go skiing, you know, all that stuff. But then when we have our next conversation, I can remind myself and go, hi, Paul, how's the ginger? How's the skiing? It's helping you communicate and connect better and more completely. And to the point about the business cards, when you think about the environment, 292 tons of business cards get wasted every week.
Probably
not so much now because no one's going anywhere.
But it's
about taking that concept and taking a more holistic view with all of the different stakeholders around how does it drive business? How does it connect people better? Mm. How are we getting ROI? If I'm the CFO or CEO or business owner, how do I know that going to those events is delivering return on investment for me?
Yeah.
How do I measure that?
And that's really important, isn't it? Because it's something that's traditionally been quite hard to do.
Absolutely.
With business events, especially when money's tight and all the rest of it, you go, well, I don't know whether I'm going to make anything out of this, and it all depends how much the stand costs and all the rest of it. But it's not just the price of the stand, it's the time spent at an event.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can measure what you got out of it, and not even necessarily how much money you made, but how many contacts you made, you made all these contacts, so you know it could be a management tool that says we need to be better at following this up, because we spent money being there, we generated all this interest, and nobody did anything about it, and that's ridiculous,
fact that when you're doing that, you know, with Grapevine it integrates with CRM, so they can be in your CRM instantly. You're not having that lag and that delay and what have you, and business leaders can then not only see and measure the ROI, it means as event organizers or sales leaders, you've got a better opportunity to demonstrate that there's value in you being there for the next year when it comes around. Because otherwise, how do you justify, particularly now, it's going to be so tough to justify having a presence somewhere if you can't demonstrate it's delivering bottom line impact.
Mm. Absolutely. So from my point of view, people staging events are going to love this because they should be promoting it as an add-on to what they're doing that says, look, you know, because when you try and sell stands, people go, well, how many people came last year? What difference does that make? You know, it's not the total number of people that came. It's the right number of people, you know. If only 10 people came, but they all spent £1 million with you, would you moan? You know, so having something like, well, there's a tool available where you can measure all of this, is a big benefit. I want to make one other point, and we talked about this before we went on air. You know, when I was promoting your appearance on the show, a lot of people going, oh, what a shame, you know, she's developed this lovely app just at the point that the events industry's gone kaput. But that's the face-to-face event industry. This works virtually as well.
Yeah. It does. And removing events totally from the equation, it doesn't matter if you're an event organiser, a sole trader, you know, a plumber, electrician, my water softener guy is on there, yeah. you know, through to a mid to business to, or a large corporate. Yeah. Every opportunity yeah. is important.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter if you're any of those or an events organisation, we're all trying to drive business. And events are happening online and face-to-face. And the beauty of Grapevine is it works in the same way whatever you're doing, online or offline. So it's familiarity.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you're looking at online events or just attending the local, you know, online Zoom event that you do weekly with a group of people, whatever it is, you can connect on Grapevine and it delivers the same value.
Yeah.
And that's really, really important. And because it's free to use for individual users, you know, it delivers, you know, why wouldn't you? And make sure that everyone can connect. So events aside, it doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing. If you're driving business, that's what you use it for.
It's context. And quite often, you can be out and about doing something when you come across a potential contact that you're not expecting.
Absolutely.
If you see what I mean. Yeah, you know, you're doing something completely different. And, you know, it's happened to me quite often. You know, I'm stood at a bar in a pub somewhere talking to someone, and they'll go, oh, do you do that? Oh, sorry to interrupt, but, you know.
Yeah.
And before you know it, someone's telling you something, and then when you sober, well, not that I drink, but when you sober up eventually, 3 days later, you go, oh, there was a bloke in the pub. Who was he again? Yeah. Oh, I don't even know what his name was. Yeah.
How much networking is done with a couple of drinks,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. You even meet people on planes. I've often met, really, I used to travel a lot before COVID, and you'd be on these long haul, and you'd be sitting next to someone so interesting and that, and you'd swap phone numbers and that, and then never ring them. Or
I've seen that film.
Lose the phone number or, you know.
Fantastic stuff. The app is now available.
Yes.
Yep. I love the fact that it's so simple as well, you haven't cluttered it. That's what I like about it. I think our lives at the moment, Sonia, are cluttered enough, and it sounds very user-friendly.
It is, and it's helping you. You know, we all use LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn daily.
Mm.
And you know, we've all got Twitter and all these other things, and it's just about pulling that together and making it. When you look at other platforms, they try to keep you fenced in. They don't like you going outside of their little bubble, if you like. Grapevine flips that on its head. What Grapevine is that PA in your pocket that says, right, I've pulled all the connection information together. I've put it in your CRM. You've got it as an email. You know what you need to do to follow up. Now go out and do whatever it is you need to do on your preferred platform and drive business. So that's what it's about. It's about helping people connect intelligently to drive sales and revenue.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Sonia. If people want to find out about Grapevine, what's the best way to do that?
Well, obviously, I mean, this is another use case. You can find me on grapevine.app because then you'll have everything.
I knew she was going to say that.
Let's just spell it GRAP for Peter, RYN dot.
VYN.
Oh, a V?
Yeah.
V. Oh, sorry. PVYN, yes.
Yeah. GRAPVYN dot app. And that's where you can find me. I'm really reluctant to give out my email address. But
that's fine.
Just because I want people to go on the app. But you can also find out more about us on www.grapevine.com.
Right.
And obviously do reach out, sonia@grapevine.com, if you do have any questions. But please go on the app. It's MVP. We want user feedback. We want to make it good and deliver value. So I look forward to getting some connection requests.
Brilliant. I love the having a PA in your pocket, don't you?
Absolutely.
I want one.
Fantastic. Sonia, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. We're almost at the halfway point and joining the news room. But my phone is now telling me I've got 142 tweets that I haven't read. So I'm going to try and read a couple. The Recovery World, Vanilla Web and Jules, I would love a shout out, please. Business is turning quiet again, so as much support as possible is needed. Undoubtedly, the COVID cases rising is having an impact, even without a local lockdown. So do give them a follow. Recovery Well is their Twitter handle.
Yes, I saw that this morning, and it's strange because she's offering holistic treatments, isn't she, and things.
Yeah.
So you'd think when people are really stressed at the moment, they would want them more. So there must be sort of a
fear. Yeah, but it's the physicality of it, isn't it?
It's a fear. Well, I have a massage once every 3 weeks, and she wears a mask and I wear a mask and I lay face down now.
I used to
be able to flip over and have. But it's a great massage, even lying down. Little hole for your face, very safe. They take your temperature when you go in, What is wrong with you today?
Nothing. Oh, dear.
The mention, it's very carry on, isn't it, Sonia, in here today? Yeah. I don't know why. The mention of a massage and these ooh matron.
No, it's just my mind boggled. She goes, no, we both wore masks. And I thought, well, is that it? Just the masks thing.
I was trying to work out with the visor mask how you then breathe if you're laying face down.
She doesn't breathe.
Oh, no. She does actually, she goes out the room, I get undressed, I lay down, cover myself with a little towel for dignity, and then she allows me to take my mask off because my face is going, you know, A, I'm not coughing anyway, but even if I had the dreaded COVID, she's checked my, as I go in, she checks your, puts your finger in something to check your
temperature and
your
pulse,
oxygen levels.
Yeah.
Does all that much more than if I go to Margate A&E, where I took my mother. There were no checks when I took my mother. But she does temperature. So when you're lying face, she will allow you to take your little mask off, but she keeps hers on and a visor.
I went to a meeting yesterday in an office. It wasn't a meeting with them. It was in their office with somebody else, a company called Thermosphere. And when you walk through their front door, they've got a portal, and you walk through the portal and it sprays you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It sprays you with this anti-fogging stuff.
But then you're inhaling that, so what is in it?
I would
worry about that for my little lungs.
Wouldn't you?
I would want to know what I'm inhaling.
Yeah.
Because I got really ill. I was in Lombok, as you do. We were with the Singapore government. I was in Lombok, and they were fogging, and it made me very, very ill.
Mm.
Yeah, for 3 weeks.
I had a tweet from Michael Parts Surveyors, MPSL, on Twitter. Thank you so much, Paul. We would love a shout-out on the Business Bunker, please. Have a lovely day, everyone. That's the Chartered Surveyors over there in Rochester, commercial property specialist, Michael Parts Surveyors Limited, MPSL, on Le Twitter. Tracy Ann Barker, did you read this one earlier?
I may have done.
Yeah.
Tell me again.
Yeah, no, you did. I remember now. It's that time of the week again for the Business Bunker. I hope to be listening live today because she listened to last week's this morning. So we've done
that. Oh, yeah, she's done her whole quota. Tracy Ferguson at Tazy64 on the Twitter says, really interesting, Sonia. I want to develop a Plucky's World app in the future, and this sounds perfect. We'll look into this option next year to see if it works for my project. I've already had my fingers burned last year by a developer, so I'm reluctant to go down that route again.
Well, I'm happy to share my journey and have a more of a conversation with you and share how I've achieved what I've done. So please feel free to reach out.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. We love that when our listeners reach to our guests.
M Farmers Markets. Over 30 small local businesses are booked to attend this week's Westmoreland Farmers Market on Sunday the 25th, selling their locally produced food, drink and some craft, including green hop beer, wild sea bass. Wild sea bass, it was livid.
Wow.
pork cuts and more. I like a bit of wild sea bass.
Yeah, I like a pork cut and more.
That's the Westmoreland Farmers Market, Sunday the 25th of October, 9:30 to 1:30.
And the lovely Martin White and the team at Supply My Business Kent have said, you've done it again, this time at the beginning. I'm not sure. Is that good or bad?
What have we done?
I don't know. And he says, thank you for the shout out today. Enjoying the show. P.S. Jules spoke to Alan McCabin, the lovely, wondering about the next slope off. So there's lots of pressure on me to do a slope off. I used to do this networking at lunch, which used to start at 2 p.m. slope off Friday once a month in fabulous independent restaurants. Of course, I can't really do it at the moment, but the pressure, you know, to do it.
We feel for you.
What would we do? Do it outside with a bonfire, I suppose.
Do you know what we're going to do now? Channel
News.
Radio Newsroom.
I thought so.
And then when we come back, we've got two more guests to talk to. So let's join the Channel Radio Newsroom, and we'll be back soon.
Can't wait.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Boris Johnson is to hold a Downing Street press conference later, where he's expected to outline the next stages of lockdown restrictions across England. Leaders in Greater Manchester are looking for around £75 million of support in exchange for the area move.
Collect my mother now, because she's been at Serenity Beckers having all her beauty treatments.
Has she? Ready for tomorrow?
And she said, I can walk home. And I said, no, you've got low blood pressure, high blood pressure, wobbly.
All at the same time.
She gets it all.
She got one leg's high, one leg's low. Yeah, I know the same. I have the same problem.
Well, she did break her wrist in the middle of lockdown, didn't she?
Oh, dear.
Anyway, I'd rather collect her.
Listen, Ruth, happy birthday. Enjoy your day out with the family tomorrow. Have loads and loads of fun. We've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to Sonia Kimpton-Deville and Shirley Mansfield and Phil Bevin for being our guests today.
Yeah.
To my lovely co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show
and
next week.
And to Athelbrae for our thank you list.
Yeah, a thank you to Athelbrae for the lovely, lovely card. It was really appreciated. We'll be back next week. Enjoy your week, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.